Nes dyma rhaid i'r eisiau mynd rhaid cael eich rhaid yn ygys dyma gael hwgol chelyw sian a hasbwyd John McGettigan. John, you were saying there just when I was watching it on, you were talking the last day you wanted to tell a story. Was that about farming, John? And
yeah.
A lot of cattle there at the time, John, and you were saying...
Well, I suppose we were probably still about the economic war, maybe we're talking.
Yeah.
Time when there were no markets.
That's right, yeah.
You see, the position was at that time that De Valera came into power. That had been 1932. And we were paying $5 million per annum to Britain, what they call land annuities. He stuck the seals in his ground. That money's not going to be paid no longer. There wasn't.
Yeah.
And along with that, he had the allegiance to the crown, the British crown.
That's right, yeah.
And they said that was out the door too, which it was. And then struck the economic war then. They wouldn't take our cattle. They were naturally our nearest market and the biggest market for the Irish farmers' cattle. They were neighbours, actually. That all stopped, you see, and the cattle were worthless.
Yeah.
Until the war broke out, 1939. We lifted the ban then. Too glad, bloody glad to get them then. Lifted the ban on cattle and everything then, you see. And things were booming here then. The only thing was wrong then at that particular time. The war years were good here when there was such a scarcity, a lot of commodities. Like
everything was scarce.
Tea was nearly impossible, and paraffin oil, which would be a big part of the, what none of the switch ons at that time.
No, it was all telly lamps and all that.
Tellies in some cases were a lower standard, and the telly was a big improvement. So they hadn't a very long life altogether, really, you know, the whole time. And there were several other people come back from across the water to escape the armed forces.
Yeah.
Here, you know.
Yeah.
People that maybe had been over there to Scotland and England for maybe a good lot of years. They came back, and there were a lot of young people here. And they were work for every Tom, Dick and Harry, for there were loads of work in the bogs, number one. Producing turf was big time stuff. Well, coal, no coal.
No oil at then.
No oil.
No. Scarcity just of everything.
Scarcity of that. And along with that, there would be a lot of people full time making bog roads. Yeah, or to open up even bog that had been on use before that, you know. The result that there would be very few young fellas signing at that time, you know. And lots of young fellas and men that who had then in the early 40s who had regarded a big job from the water main from Loch Salt to Letterkenny.
You talked about that. But that hold on till we see. Then De Valera introduced the free beef.
Yes.
Mm. That changed a lot too, like.
I don't know. I did, surely. I told you about the dog eating your man's meat. Or did I?
Yes. Did it again.
Yes, a very big carry out was it, you know, for me and his bicycle and a lot of the neighbour men who they know he had travelled, and he was collecting for it. He had £24 of meat anyway. And it was all for four
different households.
Six different people, I think.
Yeah.
And it was all well done, you know, and the meat would be good. There were no reason for killing poor type of cattle, you know.
No, it was the best of meat.
Best of meat, sure. Probably better than you're getting maybe today, you know. And they had it all done up there very nicely on these wee fast men to draw them at it.
Tied on the back of his bike.
Quite a bit too dark in the morning. The big wall was a string, the brown paper scattered about.
The dogs?
Well, there must have been dogs, and they couldn't.
Ah, yeah.
Probably one dog couldn't help. Mm-hmm. Just cleaned it up too, being there are no trace at all.
No.
So.
So, what amount of meat was allowed for every per person?
That was £4.
£4.
Yeah, you got the £4. Well, it was all right for the weekend, and at least had one decent dinner, I know.
You did, yeah.
In some cases, I'd be more because there'd be maybe an individual in a house that would be still getting poor. They'd get a few, actually.
They would. And, but things started with the war, after the war, and started to improve, John?
As I said already, it started to improve during the war.
Mm-hmm.
Regards,
yeah,
but then there another thing was very prominent at that time. We were all involved in the growing of flax, was big time stuff too. Every man had some ground planted in flax, and that's a very remarkable thing about flax, that it was a really successful a crop and kind of poor land, you know.
So it suited this kind of...
It was better suited for it than the present-day land would be now that the farmer went in then here at a certain time when he went in for liming his land. Every man would get put on lime for the subsidy and everything for it.
Yeah, and that was helping the land, I guess.
And that left land... The real article for present day situation where they want grass.
Yeah.
That you're going to have very good grass where you have had your land lined, and you would have better, you wouldn't have good flax on the land that would be lined.
Mm-hmm.
Or actually, you wouldn't have a good crop of corn on the land that would be lined. Strange little.
That was strange.
Was true now.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's hard.
So then De Valera introduced the dole as well.
Came in the year about 34, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that was a laugh, you know, at the start. That's the bloody word, it was a laugh up present day anyway. Then there were boys, a lot of boys that spent their whole life and never done no work. That a good week's wages were dole. Some man that would have a big family there, particularly.
He'd be as well off not to work.
He wouldn't work. No. He didn't. I had no one. And of course, sad to say, there were a lot of them worked along with that too.
Mm.
And they're trying to clamp down on that, and probably had a certain amount of success, but couldn't be 100% at any time. You know?
But it was the first that people saw of getting a freebie, like, you know, handed to you, like.
Yeah.
So I suppose De Valera did all right and waste.
He helped us country.
He tried to improve.
The dole wasn't long altogether here until you could see it had a good effect, you know. Mm-hmm. The man that would have a big family got more dole too, you see, even early on in the dole time, you know. And that man was able to, in some cases, maybe make better use of maybe fed cattle, you know, there to sell.
Yeah.
And they would even go back to the lime of the land, they'd probably even lime his land, you know.
So it was suiting certain people, like.
Yes. You see, that mm-hmm. worked out that way, you see. You could see it in different areas, you know, where it made a... James Dillon was a man that, and he wasn't by everybody's cup of tea. He was a man who was responsible for the lime subsidy job.
Right.
They used to, and here and at home here, locally, everybody put a lime on the land and some kids put the board in the limestone. Put it on burn, but I got it to work out with it. Burn it at all for a better job, you see. Got in the dust.
Yeah.
You see? And that was a real big help to this country. Bill said he'd make the country green and fair play to him, he did. And he wouldn't be regarded as one of the greatest of men in the government, at the government of that time.
John, you remember a time we talked about here, this town end of Meenerau, like, used to be the postal address, post office was terrible, but it's in the Kilmacrenan parish. And you remember a time when there was no postman coming up this direction. Tell me about your
memory. I told you that there were times that they were going to Kilmacrenan to collect their letters. But that before my time now.
Imagine there was no postman coming
up. No, there were no postman. Years ago, my mother and father would have remembered. They were going to collect their letters in Kilmacrenan. At the time now, whatever would be the age of the postman, I wouldn't know. But that's the story.
Yeah.
Whether it would be... You see, there was another situation here in this country too, way back in the... going back to the very bad times. And you'd take people down even from your area. Not so much locally here now. They'll be going away to America. That no word English, actually.
None whatsoever.
How did they?
It was tough.
How the hell did they manage? And as I think I told you before, that a lot of them didn't even go to school. My granny never was at school. My mother's mother.
She never went to school?
Never was at school. She originally came from way below Creasley, across the lake. That was a school, she said.
But she got on all right, John.
She got on all right, surely. Yeah. Now, actually, to make you laugh, you have to pass the leaving certificate before you could serve an apprenticeship as a joiner or a bricklayer.
You have to have a leaving cert.
What the bloody hell do you want a leaving certificate for building blocks with?
You've seen the best of tradesmen who had very little education and got on very well, came out as good tradesmen and everything.
Of course they did. Anyway, they're known them. See a young fella there starting on there when the things were going good, and a building site around a wee mixer, and next day's up on the roof, man. Put on the slips and the timber. Whether he won it, where he got. I know some of that fella ours there that practiced or down. He's a very qualified tradesman. He didn't pass his leaving.
No, well, there you go, the proof of the pudding.
Yeah, sure, he could build a house from a very first block to the key was going the door.
I know. John, you went to a lot of fairs in your time, as
well. Oh, I did. Milford. This was what they've called. The Bonfire Night.
That's right.
23rd of June.
23rd of June, yeah.
And last month was the big fair in Milford. 23rd of May.
23rd of May.
That would be the Highland Fair. 23rd of May and the 23rd of November was another one. Them was big. The crowd were in Milford on the Mayfair day. And when I went into Milford first, a bus along with you could come along, a drift of people there, and that would be separated. I wouldn't see you more that day.
No, you'd lose.
We would not. We were tired to get through the town, man.
They came from all over, John, just surrounding areas.
Raised. Everybody went to the Mayfair. Men, women, and children.
It was big. A good swing, day, though, John.
Swing boats and heavy horses.
Everything just...
And boys with football, Mary Ann, kicking the ball at Mary Ann, and all that sort of thing. And
Stalls and everything?
Stalls up and clothes, old clothes left along the streets, and the man selling tools and the man selling this. Harness, horse harness, and you name it.
Was there such a thing as people arranging marriages on the day as well, John?
Well, that would be came out of my time too.
Yeah, but there was.
Oh, there was, of course, mm-hmm. surely.
On a fair day as well.
Well, that could be at any time, as far as apparently. And there's a lot of them that are success now.
I bet you.
I never heard tell of. I heard tell a good few that happened all right, and
right.
As far as I could see, they were quite successful.
They got on well, yeah.
But it's a different era too, you see. There wasn't much, that's a problem nowadays, even in my younger days, going to dances and one thing, and then I was going into pubs, you wouldn't see a girl in a pub, you know.
No, they didn't go on at all, no.
No, I remember there were a brother of mine who ordained a priest in 1948. That's a good while ago now. And the family was all here for the ordination. And there was one sister from America here, and the boys and her big crowd, or some kissy, went to a dance with Jill McCrenna. Because we went into the pub, but she came in with us. She was home. From America. Thank God, have you seen the looks of the boys at the pub was taking at her?
She was the only woman in the pub?
Oh, in the pub, sure, to God. Yeah. And then the things were before my time, a neighbour man telling me about it. He's dead a number of years, a good lot of years now. He said this thing, a woman going to the pub and getting drinking was very prevalent before, and then it, for some reason or another, it all stopped.
Yeah.
They said they were drinking big, the female folk.
Right.
That's before my time now.
Yeah, and then it stopped and...
That stopped now. Whatever stopped it now, that's anybody's guess, but it stopped. It started again in later years.
They can't stop. John, you remember a man called Davy Hay, and he used to compose songs and sell them at fair days.
Oh, I Davy Hay from down around Creasla country there.
Where was he from? He was from Creasla.
Oh, I was. And down from probably maybe between Creasla and Dunfanaghy or down there somewhere.
Mm.
Yeah.
And he used to go to the fairs, is that?
I used to sell. Had a big bundle of these ballads for them.
He used to sell the ballads?
No, they weren't hard to sell now.
No.
They wouldn't be too dear, either, but they were good. So it's a pity they didn't preserve some of them, really.
A few pennies and...
His ballads for everybody's going to the fair. Maybe they would have by David Hay's ballad. My father did, didn't know that
was sure. Your father was a singer, was he?
Too? Yeah, well, he would be, surely. Yeah. He bought the ballads, and there was another thing at that time, too. And the Milford Fair would be regarded as one of the big affairs in Donegal.
I'd say so, yeah.
And the thing looking back on now, down the years, up till it stopped so many years ago when I introduced the mark. All the men went to the fair, irrespective of whether they had any business or not, locally here. Every man, my father would never miss a fair day in Milford, or an uncle lived across the lane there. Just the men always went, and so did all the rest of them. Just went to the fair.
Yeah, it was a big gathering day and
fun day
like it.
Aye. Someone would be naturally maybe have an errand there, maybe that cattle, maybe even going to buy cattle, but irrespective of all that, they still went to the fair.
Did you drive cattle to the fair?
Oh, of course I did, sure.
Often?
Oh, aye, sure. Very much. Aye. wasn't a very nice job I had from
here. No, because...
You could have cattle from here and out of Milford, by roughly, I suppose, 5 miles. You could have half roads in Milford and someone would turn on you.
Yeah.
You'd head back home again.
I know, and everyone was doing it, and you were trying to get your cattle into it.
The roads were black with cattle. Then you must go up to the marketplace there in Milford. Not a very nice marketplace it was either.
And did you have a wee pen or what?
No. Pen at all. Every man's cattle was helter skelter. You didn't even know whether you had your own cattle or no. But there were particularly one period way back a good lot of years ago now. The main animal you see in the fair would be the Aberdeen Angus, which were black cattle.
Yeah.
That was what would be the one that seemed to be suitable more or less for the poorer type of ground too. And these are one to rare compared to you Shirley or all them now, you see. Everybody black cattle. It wasn't very easy. You had to have a size like a hog. If you had 3 or 4, you had a big job. You might manage one.
but then, John, the wheeling and dealing would start. The buyers were there. And if you didn't sell them...
You took them home.
Yeah.
Or maybe you took them to several fairs.
You prefer-
I remember... I had an uncle up a mile and a half over the road. He had only one cow. He was living on his own this day. He had one cow. Yeah. One cow, and this cow went down on the TB test. It was the early times of the TB. But he got an option in letting the cow stay until the cow would calve. They could do them whatever they wanted to do with a calf. And the cow did calf, and their neighbour man offering them £40 for a new drop calf. And I took along some of that belonged to myself to the fair in Milford in 2 years' time. And I got £41 for the same animal, which was 2 years old. That's how erratic the cattle trade were at all times.
Yeah.
I remember watching cattle up in the market in Milford, and things were very bad, of course. And this man had some animals there. He had one particular animal, and a nice little animal anyway. He was getting £14 for this animal, and that would be like the going price more or less the time. And that remarked him that he shouldn't nearly been selling his animal, you know. I think he just maybe only had the one there, but he says, how could I sell him? I got 16 for him this day, 12 months.
Well, that's how it went.
That was through to.
Yeah, I believe you.
Sure.
But often I'd say you would prefer to sell them than walk them back home.
Yeah, you would, sure. And a lot of cases did too.
If you got a reasonable.
But then you could be there and not get an offer at all, you see.
No.
That was the one big improvement in the market. Doesn't matter, you have an animal, even you think there's not much more than able to walk. Put them through that, I'd ring there, somebody would still bet some money on them.
Yeah, I know.
You wouldn't have to take them home.
No. And did you then go to other fairs like in Creasland?
No, not more than Creasland fair.
Were you not?
No.
Why?
Kilmacrane would be a fairly common market place. You would go to Kilmacrane. But I never went anywhere, only to Milford and Kilmacrane, naturally. That's cheap, and yeah, that's not another thing there, you see, horses mixed, you know, and never went near any other fairs at all.
Why not Letterkenny, John?
Well, no, that wasn't a better Letterkenny at all, but that was a marked Letterkenny, just one marked. Strangely enough, that way, not a lot of years ago, and I had the ones down taking them home, we'll talk about taking them home. I had ones down the Milford Mart, and I took one bullock at it, and I took that bullock home. I wasn't satisfied with the price at all. And that'd be on a Wednesday, and that Thursday, then the next day, a week after that, that I took the same one up to Letterkenny, and I got £100 more in Letterkenny for the week.
So you were glad that you stood out.
So like I had a successful item there, you see. But Milford was convenient and...
Yeah, close to you really. John, you must have seen a big, big changes. I mean, when you started farming first, along with your dad and everyone, it was horses you used doing the ploughing and all that.
Oh, I did horses, all right. Yeah.
Did you plough with a pair of horses, like?
Pair of horses. And sometimes there, when you're big and you show the corn, we between my father here and my uncle, he had one across there. My father had two. But we did a lot of work for the Donegal Council.
You did, yeah. You told me that, yeah.
We were in a horse and cart was
all the
used. And for that reason, you needed an extra, particularly at a certain time of the year, you needed an extra
horse,
you know, that sort of thing. Yeah. So I remember sowing the corn, and I remember having the three horses in the harness at the sowing of the corn. You're in the middle of a big field, you got over your ground a little quick.
It was tough work, though. You know,
I suppose it was like the people going to the bog, the people were used to it.
Yeah, you were hardened up to
it. I mean, the boys are in later years there, when I was going to the bog there, later years after even retired from the Donegal Council, and the boys were coming along you to the bog them times, pick you off, like, I mean, that fellow was telling me that he was going out to their bog, lay away back up here, good but up there, and he had engaged these two fellows to go to the bog, and he said they landed up in the bog with them and runners on them.
Yeah. they weren't bogmen.
Up to the last. He said that. He said he never begrudged money as much as he did today.
No.
He said he might as well get the money and told them to stay in the house.
Yeah.
They're no good even. I said he could even get a man to go to the bog, he was runners on him. And they could still do a good day's work. But the runners matched their attitude as far as...
They weren't working hard.
No, they thought they were going for a cushy day and a fairly decent day's wages at that,
So but then you remember, John, the big change that came when people started buying tractors and...
Yeah. Aye.
That must have been strange to see, John, you know.
There would be very scarce here for a lot of years.
I'd say so. In your youth, you wouldn't have seen any, maybe?
No.
No.
None at all. And
none at all, no.
And the only man you would see with a tractor starting off would be a man that would have a lot of land.
Yeah. Had use for a tractor.
Maybe even more money naturally than a man living up these areas here, you know. He'd have a tractor, but it could be a long time before the next man locally would get a tractor. By and by, every man had a tractor.
And when did this start? 50s would it be, John?
Yeah, it would be around the early 50s.
Yeah.
Yeah, it would be beginning them, you know. and
started buying smaller tractors for us, like your.
There would be that wee one, TVO or something.
Yeah, that's right.
That
yeah.
was the early ones, you know.
Yeah. And, very light
then
tractor.
Then the Ferguson and all that sort of thing. And mm-hmm. gradually they had a bigger one and that sort of thing. Frank here, his son there, he got one and it was a very good tractor to you. And he got him from. Man down there, and there's a moor down there, but there's a funny down there somewhere.
There is one, yeah.
Yeah, I think there's one, yeah. A very good tractor, but yeah. It was in top quality, good making, it was actually wasn't out of the question here, either. There's no good then for that, these bales, you know, these silage bales. So we had to go in for a
heavier tractor.
Heavier tractor, yeah. Then, you see. And they got that one from him too, and that it was a very good buy. He had a good lot of years and never bar had puncture, never had any problems at all.
But you saw the change, Sean. And then the horses started to disappear and
surely started to disappear. Surely, but. The same thing was about the ploughing and after the horses and the plough.
It was neater.
You start, we'll say, at 8 or even 9 o'clock maybe in the spring morning there. And you plough for up to 6 or 7 o'clock in the evening. Lord, you walked a lot of miles.
You would have walked a lot of miles.
And you wouldn't be tired.
You wouldn't?
No. You wouldn't be. I was talking to men later years, told me that they come off after the horses and they are a lot more fresh than coming up the street of the tractor.
Imagine.
I believe them too. Yeah.
I believe it too, yeah. But was the work neater, John, you know, what the horse it would be?
Or if you got the real good man that actually made nice, tidy work too. But the early years, there would be, a lot of them would be.
Yeah, they were only learning.
Some standard type of work they were doing, you know. But generally speaking, they improved a way lot.
Got good at it, yeah.
Yeah.
Would you like to tell me of the day you got married, Sean?
There were no big weddings them times, you know, much, you know.
No.
No big.
It was unheard of, really.
It would be very rare. Ours wouldn't be big either at all.
And where was the reception held, Sean?
We were at a reception in Kilmacrenn just.
Right.
Went away to. Was it there? The band went. I went away to the dairy for the day and all that sort of thing. No big deal, or myself and Bridget, and Bridget's brother was the best man and my sister was the bridesmaid. That's the way it worked out.
Small group, yeah.
Small group and a few people just there.
But it was the right way, sure.
It was the right way, surely, looking back at now, I mean, surely.
Yeah.
The way I went there on Saturday. Down with a couple of hundred at a show. What much difference would be in the whole lot altogether, you see?
It was senseless, really, wasn't it?
Where's that? If you had to get around, Rose, I'll show you a card we had there, or a card we got for acknowledgement of presence, you know?
Yeah.
She'll show it to you when she comes in. Rose will show you. But that was it.
Yeah, but it was a better way, wasn't it?
It was grand, surely, it's good.
Yeah.
What a dollar might it at the end of the day, this big 200 or 300.
Spending thousands and thousands.
Yeah. Could make far better use of that money some other way.
Starting off in life.
Them days we were talked already, there wasn't any money much anyway. When we got married, over in Chairman there in the 19th century, April 1949, And there were three weddings in the one morning. Never happened before nor since.
No.
In that same chapel, 3 years married. One of the couples died. He died before we had the 40th anniversary. A week or two before we had the 40th anniversary. Another man died very short time before we had the 50th anniversary. But I left over the 60th anniversary.
So you did, yeah.
You see?
And honeymoons were unheard of.
Ah, yeah, well, of course, surely. Yeah, surely.
You just went away for the day. And
there was a man over in German country. I heard them talking about him. But you know all about him too. Him and her got married and they went home and threshed a corn stack or something.
Yeah, that very day. Yeah, I believe you.
Yeah. That was life in them days, you know. So that's all. Well, I think in the earlier years too, way back before my time mostly, there were some big weddings before.
Right.
You know, when even the old Jutton Carrum would be a common feature of
Edward, yeah.
Rural Ireland, yeah. At the time, you know. There was a lot of them at the wedding, you know. But generally speaking, that time we got married, the big weddings were not on.
Not at all, no.
They weren't.
Unheard of.
Unheard of, it's just the way it was.
John, would you like to tell me about your brothers who were involved in troubled times in the IRA?
Well, the two oldest of this family, the boys, there are 14 of us, and you know. I said that already.
You did, yeah, the last day.
They were in the IRA now, two of them, both. And active IRA men too at the time. But then they went with the American in 1927.
Yeah, you said that, yeah.
The two of them went away together to America in 1927. One of them was back.
Yeah.
Excuse me. And another fellow was here. It's 38 years away they came.
Yeah, you talked about him the last time.
Yeah.
And were they hunted down then here? Like, were they given a lot of bother when they were?
Well, I wasn't that very old during the terrain time of the trouble, you know.
Yeah.
Wasn't it that much?
You have a vague kind of memory
very,
of this.
Yeah, what a vague memory. Mm. It wouldn't be very popular, the old crowd either, you really, I don't think. The old IRA wouldn't be. Everybody's cup of tea either, I don't think.
There was a lot of bother though around and unrest.
Yeah. There'd be nearly a lot of bother and later it would be only just reasonable kind of boys, you know, or I suppose they had a certain goal to aim at or something too, but a lot of one would be very trustworthy altogether, you know. Could do anything for a drink of potion at the time, you know.
Yeah.
So that seemed to be that style as far as I could remember. I would be kind of young and about 1920, 22 and all that sort of thing, you know. So that was it. You know.
I know. Hold on. I'm going to ask you one question before we finish, John. And you've seen a lot of change in your time.
Yeah.
And you've heard of a lot more that you mentioned there earlier. But big, big changes in your time. And what's your opinion of life, the way it's going nowadays?
Well, the way I would look at it at the present time is I mentioned different people a lot of years ago when actually, when things were just going good here, would be, I believe that that would be back to the early 30s again, this country. They laughed at it, of course, claimed that no, that sort of thing, you know, it wouldn't happen anymore, but could it not?
I think it may, John. I think it's gone back big time.
I predicted that when things were going good.
Did you?
I said I thought that this thing was too good to last.
Yeah.
For a number of years there. And there were people getting far too much bloody money.
Yeah.
And they weren't taking any care of it.
No, didn't respect it in any way.
Didn't respect it. Just come easy, go easy, yeah. You see.
Spend.
Yeah, well, there were reasons. I could see reasons for it too, in a way. Particularly in the fireman community. That time, he would be a man would be even in a smaller type farmer. He would even cheat himself of things that he could have made use of. He would be a miserly attitude,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
Wouldn't it even maybe give himself as good food as he could probably afford it to give himself, or even keep better clothes on himself. And he saved up till maybe had £300 or £400, which in his eyes at that time looked particularly good money.
Yeah, yeah.
And he discovered overnight he'd only buy a young calf, which did happen.
Mm.
And that finished the saving. Every man says, what the hell is good?
Yeah.
Saving it. See the way it has went now. That man wouldn't even take his meat now. And what is he gained by it? You know.
So it's gone back, John, the way you predicted big time.
No, it's gone back in him. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can see it there, way back there a long time ago. You know, and then that's greed, that's the one that's
what caused come in the there. Yeah. It's pure greed that caused the recession.
There were men, robbers, involved in the building construction.
Yeah.
They couldn't get half enough property to a house.
Yeah.
A bloody house there that for maybe $450,000.
Yeah. And they were going up and up.
And 2,000 would do the bloody job.
Yeah.
200,000 would do the job, I'd
but
say.
Pure greed, just as you said.
Just greed.
Yeah.
Now, there are a lot of now.
Can't sell them.
A lot of now isn't any money even.
No.
There's that card there. Just
well, John, I'll leave it there now and we'll look at the photos now of your 60th anniversary.
No, I'm just showing you that one there. It's just that one where it sent out to the people that sent us present here for the 60th.
Background in the back.
It's on the back now.
Oh, lovely. On your wedding day?
Aye.
It's lovely.
So we sent that out to the people that gave us present. And we got quite a lot of them, indeed. Needless to say.
Okay, John, I'll leave it there now today, and thanks for your time again.
Oh, well, my time is not very precious at the moment.
Still, you have stories of an older time.
I remember a good lot, indeed.
Thanks, John.
Yeah, you're welcome. You're very welcome, sir.